From Revenue Rhino, I'm Brad Hammond, and this is the Lifelong Customer Podcast. We're interviewing successful sales and marketing leaders and discussing ways in which they're building lifelong relationships with their customers. Welcome to the Lifelong Customer Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Hammond, and today I have John from Isometric Technologies. John, it's really nice to have you on.
Yeah, good to see you. Excited to be here, Brad.
Absolutely. I'm really excited too. So to kick off today's discussion, maybe you could just tell me a bit about yourself, about your company, who you are, and what you guys are doing as a company.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in charge of sales at Isometric Technologies. I've been in logistics and supply chain tech and software for, gosh, probably going on 12, 15 years at this point. So never really strayed from this space. And I've seen a lot of the industry evolve when you think of tech and software. I've seen a lot of the industry stay stagnant, but I've seen this thing through a few different lenses working with different companies. Most of my experience is building, evolving sales teams, building, evolving go-to-market strategy. And mostly, I'd say early to mid-stage companies is who I've worked with.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So you mentioned you guys are in kind of the supply chain space. What's your approach been to sales strategy in the space last year? And maybe what are some of the greatest challenges that you faced from a sales perspective?
Supply chain's been interesting the last 12, 15 months, right? Just look at the macroeconomic climate and everything that's being impacted. I think some folks think supply chain is recession-proof. There are parts of it that are, and there are parts of it that aren't. But we've really been focused on a couple areas, I'd say. One is really building out our sales team. So the last 12 months or so was really aggressively focused on hiring, trying to get the right profile in terms of account executives. We're early on, I'd say, in terms of our growth as a business. And I think a lot of times sales leaders are rushing to hire account executives because you have to build out a team and not really thinking through the right profile that you really need with these hires and just trying to put people into seats. I've learned from that in the past, and that wasn't something that we wanted to do here. A big part of our sales strategy was really identifying the right account executives for the role here, people with supply chain experience, people that had a lot of selling experience and really understand the customers that we're selling into. We're selling a fairly complex product into a really complex scenario with a lot of these larger companies. Finding account executives that not just understand our software, but also understand a variety of different software applications and platforms that our customers might have is a lot harder than most people would probably think. So in terms of, say, the macro sales strategy here, and I think something that trips a lot of sales leaders up when they're starting is we took our time in finding the right people that really knew the space and that are savvy and are studied and that really can help our customers not just understand the problems that they have, but more importantly, articulate a solution that's going to help their business. So that was a big piece of sales strategy. I know that sounds pretty basic, right? Hiring folks, but it's one that if you mess that up, you're going to be recovering from it for the next 12 months and learning along the way. So that was a big piece. Another component of our sales strategy, and still today, but really the last 12 months or so, when you think about large manufacturers, which is primarily what we're selling into, Fortune 1000, food and beverage companies, CPG companies, heavy manufacturers, those type of organizations, when you start to hear talk of looming recession or a tightening spend in these organizations, potential layoffs, all these things that are pretty scary. Buying new software is one of the first things to go sometimes. And a big part of our strategy and really just our overall company strategy as a whole is really understanding our customers, understanding their needs, but being able to show a quantifiable ROI around what we're selling is absolutely paramount. If you can't have that, or if you don't have that, you're just not going to get the attention from these prospects. And more importantly, they're not going to buy from you because budgets are getting cut. So you just have to be really thoughtful with the approach, in my opinion, around ROI and what I would call value translation for these customers, just really understanding their business, not selling features and benefits, and really crafting a solution that they can go take to their peers, take to folks that approve budgets and say, look, here's the ROI, here's the time horizon to achieve it. We believe in the data. We've all agreed on the business case. This is a must-have software, not a need-to-have software. And that's been a big part of what we've been doing.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I think a lot of other sales leaders out there are really trying to think about what sort of initiatives, strategies, things can we leverage in order to generate pipeline, especially as we head into these uncertain times. Can you provide any examples of things that you guys have tried, whether it be initiatives or campaigns in this space that have been successful that you've seen?
Absolutely. I can tell you what not to do, first off, with campaigns, what I don't think anyone should do, but I see it every day in my own role with folks trying to sell me software. And what not to do is what I would call like spray and pray sort of tactics with outbounding and outreach and cold calling and all those things. You know, what that looks like, something like this. Take an email and cut and paste that to everyone in an organization with really no value add, talking more about you the whole time and your features and benefits and what you do, and not wanting to learn about their business, and send that out to 1,000 companies. And you'll get maybe one response from that. But a lot of companies do that. And it's the wrong approach, especially now more than ever. If you're selling enterprise, it needs to be the exact opposite of that. And that's what we do. And that's when you talk about initiatives and, you know, what I see that works today and I think will work in the future is A, really understanding the persona that you're reaching out. Some organizations, especially large enterprises that we're selling into, they may have 4 or 5 different business units that our solution will impact. And each one of those business units might have 2 or 3 different personas that care about different things. And frankly, could see a different ROI from the solution. What we've done, I think we've done a phenomenal job with, is understanding our current customer base, literally interviewing our current customer base, working really closely with our current customer base, and understanding how different personas use our software today to see an ROI. We then understand the impact of that, and we take that information when we go to reach out to new prospective customers. And we use those peer use cases, folks that are similar to them that are current customers. And we explain to them what value they're seeing with our solution. And then we ask to learn about their organization. And that might sound pretty simple or pretty obvious, but a lot of companies aren't doing that. It's like you have to lead with real value, quantifiable value, specific examples that make sense to that person. Someone in a finance department may see something totally differently than someone in supply chain or manufacturing or some other group. So just being very thoughtful with the approach. That to me is critical if you want a response when you're doing outreach.
Absolutely. So it sounds like to me, don't set up like an auto email or to like just send the same email out to everybody that nobody's going to respond to. Get really targeted with your messaging and then lead with examples, lead with value, lead with that targeted approach versus just spray and pray to everybody. And what's an example of that messaging? What would you reach out to someone and say as maybe an example?
Say we have a current customer today, say whatever our persona is that, let me rewind, I guess, one step there also. Another piece of just the overall sales strategy that I implement and that we use here is also really understanding conversion rates when you're doing outreach. And who you're targeting and, you know, what messaging you're using and then what's working, right? Having analytics around that to really understand what's working and what's not, and taking what's working and recycling that and improving that to make sure that your conversion rates are high. But an example to answer your question would be, let's say that we have a current customer today with 3 different personas that use our software that we know we can quantify an ROI off of. We have access to the same analytics that our customers do based on what they're doing in our software platform. So we can literally see the dollar amount that their business is being impacted by. And say you have one individual that has been able to save 30% of what they were spending last year. That's realized savings. If we had a persona that a prospective customer, that's the same person, same job title, we would lead with a use case like that. Peers of yours have seen a 30% reduction in spend with isometric technologies. Here's how they're doing that. Do you have this problem today? Are you aware of this problem today? Could we take some time to learn about your business and see if you maybe have similar symptoms of other customers of ours before implementing ISA? I would love to chat. Another persona at that same company may not care at all about lowering spend on something, right? They're in a different group, different stakeholders, but can still see value from the software. So that messaging might be totally different. It may be we've seen a 15% increase in efficiencies or reduction in overhead, whatever that may be, but really understanding your current customer base and then using those examples with the right persona that you're reaching out to, in my opinion, resonates. And that to me is the only logical way to do it. You have to have customers. You have to understand your customers to be able to do that. But that to me is the only way that you're going to get these folks' attention. And we're, like I said, we're selling into some of the biggest companies on the planet, and we're selling into executives at these companies. So they're not checking their email. They're getting 500 emails a day. They don't care about your message on LinkedIn. They're inundated nonstop with trying to run their business. So when you do get a captive audience, or they do look at what you're saying, or get a referral from someone, or you get them on the phone, you just have to be really targeted, and it has to make sense, or they're just not going to meet with you, plain and simple.
Absolutely. So all this said, what's your plan to build and maintain pipeline as we head into this year? Obviously, I think for everyone out there, it's getting a bit tougher and all that. What are some strategies you guys are going to utilize in addition to doing all the targeted messaging?
Yeah, no, great question. Pipeline is always top of mind, right? For different reasons and different companies. I see pipeline a little bit differently than some folks may. I think that's a product of my experience and seeing this movie a few different ways with a few different companies over the years. But to me, we have a healthy pipeline today. We have a large pipeline today, but bigger isn't always better. When you think about pipeline. And I think a lot of young sales leaders and a lot of young companies, not young, let's say, just folks that don't have as much tenure, don't understand things that well yet, they're focused on getting a large pipeline. You know, we need a huge pipeline. We need to dump everything into it so that we can show, A, we've got a market, the TAM is there, and we have a market that we can convert from and a pipe we can convert from. But also, I think it's a self-preservation thing where it's like, a big pipeline makes people sleep better at night or something like that, where I see things quite differently, actually. I want a healthy pipeline that's the right multiple on the revenue that I'm trying to get to based off conversion rates that I understand, but I don't want an overinflated pipeline. I don't want deals getting into the pipeline that aren't properly qualified, and then we're seeing churn from the pipe and our conversion rates aren't accurate. So I look at pipeline in terms of, you know, what is your current conversion rate today from, say, a new meeting or a discovery meeting to a closed deal? Do you understand those analytics, first of all? But if you understand those analytics, then what multiple do you need from a total pipeline standpoint to get to your goals? And do you understand the time horizon associated with everything that's involved in the sales process? And for us, I'd rather have a smaller pipeline that is predictable and repeatable, and that we can really show results from over and over and make sure that we understand this thing scientifically, than just let's go get a huge pipeline. And I think most investors would agree with that as well. Investors want predictability. They want results. They don't want you to show up and say, hey, we added $100 million to our pipeline. This is a wonderful thing, but your conversion rates are terrible. That just means you aren't qualifying these deals correctly, right? That's how I think about pipeline. It's all about qualification. It's all about having the right processes to make sure, and frankly, hiring the right sales folks that don't just want to put everything in the pipeline immediately. They want to put deals in that they know they can convert and are qualified and they can show results from.
Absolutely. Let's talk about managing and optimizing performance and even measuring. You said I like the idea of making it scientific and predictable. And how are you measuring, managing, and optimizing performance?
Specifically for the account executives?
Yeah, specifically for the account executives and sales team.
Yeah, absolutely. So look at it a couple of different ways. One is like a macro view. And a lot of the things I mentioned about understanding conversion rates, understanding what's working, what's not working, doing some controlled experiments too, right? Trying new things and seeing what's working, what's not working. But you got to start with the right tech stack. You have to have a solid sales operations team as well, in my opinion, where we're an analytics company. If I don't have proper sales analytics to understand what's happening, then that would be insane. So we have a pretty robust tech stack when we look at everything that we're tracking, everything that we're doing from an outbound and outreach standpoint, but to really understand what's happening from conversion rates, what's not working, even simple messaging. And I look at things from a macro view, and then also my account executives has their own, say, dashboards and analytics and insights into their own performance. Because certain things work for certain folks and don't work for others, even with similar messaging. Someone might be really good on the phone and another person isn't as good on the phone, or other sales channels, sales, as I say. Our team has specific dashboards for each person so they can look and say, okay, If I'm making phone calls, I'm sending emails, I'm using LinkedIn, I'm getting referrals, what are my specific conversion rates for those different areas so that they know where they should focus because that's what they're good at and that's what's working, which might be different from another account executive, even though it's very similar messaging. So I think that's important for these folks to be thinking about their own time and really where they allocate their time based off that same logic. What am I converting? Really running their own business. And then we meet as a team a couple times a week as well to share best practices. I would pull up all of our macro analytics around what the team's doing, what's working, what's not working, and then look at individuals so that there's some best practice sharing, let's say, among individuals, and just making sure that it's a really cohesive group in terms of what we're doing.
Absolutely. I love it. Any closing remarks, words of advice as we end the episode here?
I would just say, if you're not focused on the customer and if you're not learning about the customer and truly trying to translate the value of your product for that customer and map that into a quantifiable, monetizable business case and ROI, you're not going to get enterprise deals done in 2023. So it's better to slow down, do things the right way, be thoughtful in the approach, be thoughtful in the process when you start to talk to a customer and really understand what they're doing before you start talking about yourself. And if you do that, you're going to learn a lot and you're going to show that there's actual value in your solution. You're going to close more deals. It's that simple.
I love it. John, thanks so much for joining today and sharing all your wisdom and insights. Really appreciate it.
Hey, it was good chatting with you. Appreciate it, Brad.
Absolutely.